Alloway Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting. It is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. It is 5:30 PM.
All right, well, we will call the meeting in order. We'll call the roll. Angela Kowalczyk Adrians
here.
Jerry Faller
here.
Ryan Hallberg
here.
Mark Seidel is here. Trustee Rob Atwood
here.
Jason Mathwaite
here.
All right. On to number two, election of the Parks, Recreation, Forestry, and Committee Chair.
I was saying before that this is the meeting that you don't want to miss. You want to make sure you're here for it. But so if anyone would like to make a motion on a new chairperson for the year.
This is when nobody has eye contact. Ryan, are you comfortable doing it?
You know, I'm not great with the rules of order things. That's what I'm nervous about.
We're a pretty flexible group. So.
I would say that Mark is eligible. For another year.
Just had to throw that out there.
Yeah. Just because per the rules, you can only do two consecutive years.
I think Mark's been doing it great.
Want to max it out, Mark?
Max it out.
I am fully comfortable with that if you guys are.
Perfect. I thought you were done. I thought you had your time in.
So we need a motion?
I'll move.
Sorry.
Aye.
Right.
So Mark is our chairperson.
Congratulations, Mark.
I would then look for a motion to modify or adopt the agenda.
I'll move to adopt the agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, that passes. And then approval of the April 25th, 2023 meeting.
I'll motion to approve this.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are done. Public appearances?
None.
None today.
And didn't receive anything, any correspondence either.
So then on to announcements.
First announcement, now that it's Jason's first meeting. Unfortunately, he was unable to attend the last couple. Introduction, please introduce introduce yourself.
Thanks for having me. Sorry, I was right on time, a little late. There was an accident at 172.
There you go.
I got stuck literally right as I came off of 41. That was back way up. So, and I was like, I left early even thinking I was going to get here. But excited to be here. Jason Mathwig. I live over on Border Rue, so south of 172. I live there. It'll be 6 years now come this fall. Not originally from Green Bay area or this side, I'm from Eau Claire area. Moved here in 2014. Met my now wife over here, and we bought our first home over here in Alloway. And now we're having our first child coming up this fall.
Congratulations.
As well. So thank you. I work at New North. I don't know if you're familiar with New North. We're a nonprofit economic development organization. And I oversee two of our alliances, the digital and construction alliances. Just started that position though back in December. Previously worked at UW Green Bay for the last 6-7 years, but worked for UW System between Green Bay and Eau Claire for the last 15 years. But yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. New water tree planting grant update. The village received word that New Water has received the tree planting grant from U.S. Forest Service. So we will be utilizing that grant for tree planting, planting of 100 trees, and that's 2-year grant through 2024. So, Angela, anything you'd like to add to that?
No, just I hope to get our agreement soon so you can get started. We weren't planning any spring plantings with that, were you?
No, I was not. No, I was not. So,
Yeah, I don't even know if we'll catch fall plantings at this rate.
Sure.
But yeah, great. Got funded.
Yeah. When we're able to get money for tree planting, especially the replacement trees from the ash trees that we've removed, it's always a great help. So.
Where do the plantings take place, or what is this?
The typical plantings that we're going to be utilizing this for is just street trees that we've removed, the ash trees or other trees that have succumbed over the years. So street trees and trees in the parks. So,
I guess I would just add, since Jason's new, that I work at New Water, and I'm a grant writer there, and whenever
that
I can,
sense.
I write grants, I'll help Elway.
Perfect. Cool.
So the timing on trees is not imminent? This fall or next year?
Typically, we have two planting cycles per year in the spring, about this time. We're just wrapping it up. And then in the fall again. And that corresponds with when the growers dig the trees out of the fields. So we get good pricing from the growers that way. And through this grant, it's, a two-year cycle. So we're able to utilize it this year. Unfortunately, we received word a little late for this spring, but I think it'll help us out, this fall and then next spring and next fall. So.
Have you started planting already, the trees? Is that...
We plant every spring.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was saying, there's a couple houses down that I think from that just had two put up, and I was wondering if that was part of that.
I don't know if it wouldn't be part of this grant, because that's just, we're still waiting on the final paperwork on that one. It probably wouldn't even be under LOA, because if it's a residential tree.
If it was along the street.
It was along the street.
Yeah, it would have been one of our...
sitting out front of it, which...
Yep. That would have been one of our plantings. And we did also receive a grant from the Wisconsin DNR Urban Forestry for tree planting as well. So we'll be utilizing monies from that as well.
Number 7, updates on discussion items and projects.
A few updates I wanted to give the board. One update, we had tabled this item last meeting on the security cameras for parks. I did some inquiring with various individuals and some legal counsel, and because of the size of this project, it looks like we need to bid that project out through the public bidding process. So we started working on getting our RFP together, and we're going to look to get that out within this next month. So that, and as we had talked about previously, that project will cover the majority of our park areas to have security camera systems in there. So we hope that by the end of summer, we can get that ball rolling.
What is the protocol for pushing it out to an RFP?
As far as what?
You said legal got involved.
Because of the cost of the project, and that they feel that this is considered a public works construction project, and per state statute, if it exceeds $25,000, then you have to go through the public bidding process. So. The question was, is it a construction project? And that, so the information I received was better to be safe than sorry. So we'll go that route.
How long does the bid have to be open for?
I believe, I don't know for sure. So I don't want to say, I don't know for sure, but we should be able to get that within the next few weeks, get it out, and then out for a couple of weeks or so. So next item on there, just updates on some projects that we have going on quickly. The Optimus Park gazebo, we did receive word that will be delivered mid-next month, so... that's a little earlier than what we anticipated, which is good. So we'll be starting on that project midsummer, getting the ball rolling on that and getting that constructed. We did receive the park sign for Riverview Park, one of our new entryway signs. So that'll get installed here in the next week. As I was, we were talking about earlier, spring tree planting. We're wrapping that up. Just a couple more trees to that we need to install. Our staff installed about 95 trees along the streets and in the parks this spring, and then we have another 100 or so tree seedlings, small seedlings that will be once our summer staff comes in to help out, putting in the parks in the natural areas to help in some of those areas where we are seeing a lot of dead ash trees or that. So we'll be installing those in the natural areas. So continuation of, you know, park maintenance, busy time of the year. Grass is growing, so do a lot of mowing and athletic field repairs and preparations, along with facility maintenance. We will be transitioning here in the next month, a few weeks actually. The trees that we removed over the winter, we'll be doing the stump grindings and the cleanups from that. Additionally, the last few weeks, staff has also been doing some tree removals and prunings for the street reconstruction projects that our street department will be working on this summer. I had to go in there and remove some trees for various reasons and do some tree trimming so that doesn't interfere with the equipment and that. So, and then finally, our summer staff is starting to come aboard. They're trickling in. We have a couple that have started already, and over the next couple of weeks, we'll be all staffed up, and which helps a lot at this time of year, especially. So.
So number 8, request from the Green Bay Youth Baseball to sell beer at their Sandlot Baseball Tournament at Webster Park, July 28th through the 30th.
If anyone needs a copy of that report, I do have some here. Let's see, there's three there and three there. So I did send this report out last week to everyone, so you can preview it as well. This is an annual request from Green Bay Youth Baseball to sell beer at their annual Sandlot Tournament. They have approached the village, I believe this is year fifth year for the tournament, and fourth year for selling.
Yeah,
I can't recall. Yep. I believe it was fourth year. So over those years, the village has approved and allowed them to proceed with that. And there have, to our knowledge, have not been any issues, complaints, anything with their ability to do that. So they're here to request that again this year. And with that, Mike Callahan from Green Bay East Side is here to answer any questions if the committee has any.
When this was initially approved, it was an ongoing reoccurring that if there ever was a single issue of abuse of alcohol, that wouldn't be renewed.
Yep, 100%.
Just want to make sure that we're on record with that and everybody's in agreement with that as we move forward.
And I think that there was an issue, we wouldn't do it again. We wouldn't even ask.
I think that's been a shared...
Mutual, correct.
Mutual feelings, so...
And we do have a police officer that will be on hand the entire weekend, or at least while we're selling alcohol, along with two other fathers that are police officers. They're not going to be in uniform at the time, but they'll be there in the event anything happens. We try to respect everything as much as possible. You can't control everybody, obviously, but...
Sounds like you got a good handle on it. There was no reports from Jason?
No, not at all.
Is there anything different in this request than past years?
Nope, just the dates. It's always the last weekend in July. Okay. So that would be the only thing. And I will have multiple people come and sign up for the permits.
Sure.
I submitted the one.
Yep.
But then I'll have
five or six, seven more people come in and get their driver's license scanned and all that stuff. So yep. We'll do that. I wanted to wait until we got approval before I started sending them in here and laboring the people at the desk with work that may be unnecessary.
How's the participation in the event?
It's been great. So the overall tournament, we play across four fields, our four parks. We do use two parks in Bellevue, Jostin and DeBrew, Webster, and then we use Optimus, our Optimus and on Law off of Law Street. We could have up to 36 teams at Webster playing over the course of the entire weekend. I believe we'll have close to 45 games there over the whole weekend. We start Friday night. We go all the way through till Sunday afternoon, 4-ish, something like that. Last year, as you know, roughly we made about $18,000 in profit for the tournament. Now that's across all the fields. That's not just alcohol either. That's mm-hmm. entry fees, food and everything like that. So it's, I don't have the breakdown of what we made specifically for alcohol. I asked, but our treasurer didn't have that information to me today. But
you sell beer everywhere?
No, we can't. The city of Green Bay and Bellevue will not allow us to. So that's why we try to beg Alloway. I want to say last year, not this past year, the year before that, about a third of the money was alcohol. So we made that year, we didn't quite make 18, we made like 15. So I'd say 5,000 of that was in alcohol. Mm-hmm. So
I'm one of the new guys, so that's why.
Gotcha.
I'm
no, no, that's
$5,000 worth of pizzas you don't have to sell.
Yeah, and I mean it all goes back to the teams, right? All these teams, you have a kid in youth sports, so you know these costs.
Yep.
You know, if you guys have kids in youth any sport, you know they get costly. You know, I mean, I think my oldest is an 11U team, and we have almost $7,000 in just training this year alone. So he's only 11. I'm like, geez, I'm gonna go to the MLB pretty soon, I guess. But so yeah, it does help offset some of those costs. You know, we try to keep the cost per player to a reasonable fee. You know, $300 to $500 is what we target. So these tournaments help, or this tournament helps pay for a lot of those costs for the seasons, along with other fundraisers that we also do throughout the year. But.
And this brings in like kids and families from across the state then?
Yeah, we actually, so this is our first year that we actually have 9 teams coming from with over 2 hours away. So we got a lot of people from Milwaukee, Madison, even have 2 teams from Northern Illinois coming. So we're starting to gain a little bit. In fact, this was the first year we've sold out this tournament by January 10th, I think we were sold out. Usually we're begging people at this time to, hey, we need more teams. We'll give you a reduced rate. We've been sold out since middle of January. So we're starting to get a little bit more notoriety, I'll say, in the state for it. It's growing. For those that don't know, and you guys probably don't really care, but there is no longer a West Side Baseball League. So we're now Green Bay Baseball. So as this gets bigger, we may start to utilize some of the fields on the west side, and but the city of Green Bay has done a hard no for alcohol. Whatever, I know. I didn't have one drink the entire last year because I'm at the field every day at 5 a.m. and I don't leave till midnight, so it's I don't even want any alcohol after that those days. But yeah, it's been good. It's a great tournament, and it's getting bigger. So.
What age groups is this?
7 years. Well, we do have some 6-year-olds. 6 to 12. Some of them will be 13, The cutoff date is May 1st. So we have a couple kids that their birthday's like May 2nd. So they're 13 on May 2nd. So they'll 6 to 13 is the age groups.
Well, given that there's been no issues in the past, I assume the same rules apply going forward as far as if there are issues.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we don't want any issues. We love the fact that we're allowed to use the park over there. We use it for league. In fact, I'm going there right after here to league, and we don't want to lose that right. We debated long and hard whether or not we should even ask the first year, but because, you know, sometimes it's a negative perception, but I think Chris has been to enough youth tournaments to say that pretty much quite a few of them serve alcohol, or at least beer.
True.
I'll say.
True.
Beers.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Right. 100%. Just beer. Yep. Beer and seltzers. No wine, no mixed drinks, no none of that. We have a dad that works at Dean, so he gets us all this stuff at pretty much cost.
So can or tap?
Cans. Just cans. And we'll have, we have a parent that works at Green Bay Packaging, so she gets us the recycle boxes every year, and we'll set them all out throughout the whole park. We try to make sure that the people, you know, they end up turning into more than just cans in there, but, you know, we have a dumpster company that gives us, like, two dumpsters that we just throw everything in there, and they take it and get rid of it for us. So I'm not going to say that the park isn't spotless when we leave, but we try our best to make sure it's pretty clean.
It's been pretty good
over the years. We try.
Yep.
I know I was there last year on Sunday until about 9 o'clock cleaning it with two other dads. So we try. Like I said, we appreciate the fact that you guys let us use the park. We don't want to jeopardize that at all.
Good. Thank you.
I will make a motion to approve the sale of alcohol at the tournament.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then I'll be meeting. Are you going to be at that meeting too then?
Yeah. I'll be in touch with you.
Okay. Yeah. Just send me an email. We'll keep in touch.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to bore you guys any more than I already have. Right. So
thanks
I'm
for coming
over
Mike.
The park. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you all. And thanks Chris for setting us up. Yeah. Guys, have a good rest of your meeting.
Hey,
gals. Sorry.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Number 9, Memorial Garden discussion.
Continuation of, you know, discussion on the Memorial Garden. I was able to gather some information on the Memorial Bricks, and I contacted Global Recognition up on Velp, and they do that program. With, you know, what they're what they charge for it, it's really not too bad of a cost. You know, just an individual brick cost for engraving is, you know, $37 a piece. But as you do multiples or quantities, you know, it that price goes down a little bit. But you know, and looking at that compared to what our other memorials are, i.e. the benches of $950. You know, I think, you know, if we decide to go this route, this would be a lot more costly option, you know, for somebody that, you know, we can gear towards $100 or less, you know, whatever is decided, but a lot more costly with that. So also seems like it's a relatively easy process for getting the bricks engraved and back in a timely manner, and that. So I think they said within a couple of weeks that, you know, is that turnaround time, which is pretty good on that. So another thing we had talked about at the last meeting was maybe trying to come up with a location. I don't know if anyone had the opportunity to take a look at some places or any more information on that, Ryan? I don't know if you were able to.
What's the background on this
the
project?
Sure. Currently, the village offers a couple of different park memorial programs, one being a memorial bench. You may have seen those in Green Isle. We charge about $950 for those, and that's installation, purchase of the of the bench and the concrete and the installation. And then we also have a memorial tree program for, you know, planting a tree, you know, in the park. And that's $450 for that program. The discussion over the last year was, you know, especially with the benches, we're kind of running out of room in some of our locations with that. So Ryan had brought up the idea of maybe this program kind of geared off the, you know, some programs that have been out there. St. Norbert's, I think, you know, was one that you had talked about, and there's various others, you know, around the city of, you know, places that do this type of a memorial, you know, program. So the discussion came up, is this something that we as a village would want to look to, you know, start this as another option?
As far as the potential locations, I was just going to say that the two that I thought potential spots be at the bottom of the bridge. I know we had that Girl Scouts tree planting thing there, but you could utilize that space. Otherwise, Wheezy Park, I know, has, you know, a lot of trails that already exist. Maybe we can kind of repurpose, you know, one of those areas to kind of turn that into like a memorial path / garden area.
Bottom of which bridge?
In Green Isle Park.
Green Isle.
The bridge that goes over Bellevue.
So is the thought to not have memorials all over the place, just to kind of centralize it on certain spots, or?
I would think something along this lines, we try to have one singular, you know, with this, with the bricks, one singular location that, you know, is landscaped, you know, whether it's circular or square, with individual bricks within that that can be engraved and replaced. I think Jerry had brought it up at the last meeting about, you know, would this be a location where it's more quiet, that, you know, a person could sit and reflect and, you know, those type of things. If that's the case, Green Isle may not be the best location for that, just because of how high of use that gets, you know, throughout the day, throughout the summer, especially. So, just something to think about.
Sorry to chuckle while you say that. So I was in walking Kiwanis and Green Isle with my dog this past week, and my son was out of town, was with me, and we observed that Kiwanis was packed.
Okay.
And Green Isle was a ghost town.
Really?
So, and
did we have soccer going on, or was it all pickleball?
Pickleball. And the playground at Kiwanis, kids all over the place. Mm-hmm. The brand new, I don't know if it's brand new, but
yeah,
the Green Isle playground in the exercise area,
yeah,
nobody.
That's an odd day.
Is it an odd day? And I was like,
I cannot believe the usage that exercise equipment,
yep,
is getting.
Oh, cool.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I was walking by the other day, I saw a little guy push his brother away, saying, I know how to do it. Get out of here.
That really is a cool feature. I really think that's neat.
Work out. Good. Any other thoughts on, you know, potential locations?
I hadn't thought about that. You know, quiet little, you know, that you can go and reflect and. And I hadn't thought about that, which the footbridge.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
That sentiment.
Yeah.
What about the other section of Green Isle where it's by the baseball diamonds? And it kind of, you know, there's some trees right there. Maybe it could kind of be up next to, like, the tree. I think we had talked about putting the exercise equipment there, too, so kind of in that area.
Right, and there's even a little spot that's, I want to say, opposite the road from the ball diamonds. My only comment with that is then you're really close to the highway.
Yeah, it's pretty loud there.
Yeah.
What about the opposite kind of corner of the bridge where there's that little, I don't think you call it a fishing or landing thing, and there's a pathway off of the pathway?
I think over by
the
slough.
Opposite way, corner of the tennis courts.
Over by the slough?
Kind of by the slough.
Yeah. Past the white gazebo?
Kind of by the way. Yeah, with the kayak launch, but that water lack thereof now meets.
Kind of a wide place.
But you take
right
that path
right
off
right
of the
yeah
to go to this quiet place. So if people are walking
would,
over it as
that would be a potential.
So it's not necessarily at the quiet place, right, but it's leading you to the...
Well, and it's got nice elevation there too. It's never wet, so you wouldn't have to worry about it being underwater.
Yeah. Because another thought too is the end of the bridge in the winter, does that get plowed? Would that be issue with bricks?
The main does. So in the winter time,
so I don't know if that would be
probably just gonna get covered.
An issue with, I don't know what you use to plow.
Right.
We hate to.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to plow over the bricks or anything like that. We would, you know, that'd be something you'd set off to the side. The main trail needs plowed though.
Right.
Yeah, so.
So the brick idea would be in addition to benches and trees, or a replacement for benches and trees.
I think in addition.
Okay.
At some point, you're going to have to cap the benches in the park. You know, otherwise, it's going to be a park full of benches.
Well, did we also determine that we identify where we have locations that benches could still go, rather than just letting people choose where they go?
Correct, and we do that. Yes.
What would be the? Because I don't
too many in Greenhall Park, basically.
Like that, you talked about the maybe more cost of, from a cost perspective. People looking at it, would there be an initial upfront cost? To get it.
Yeah, likely to get the initial landscaping installed. I know Mike Borowski, a past member, last meeting had mentioned he just got a brick patio put in. I want to say he said it was like 10,000.
That's what I seem to remember as well.
10,000 for 20x20 brick patio. You know, this obviously doesn't need to be that big to start with. I don't have a cost on that, you know, from a professional landscaper. Not that I'd want to put more work on my staff, but it is something they could do. You know, they have the expertise to be able to do that type of work. They've done some of it in the past, so... But
and obviously, like, you know, we'd want this to be as self-funded as possible, but how can we gauge interest from the community if people would actually be interested in donating this way? That would be some way to get, or we just do it and hope that people end up donating, right? We don't want to sink, you know, $10,000 into it and then have nobody.
Right.
You could pretty easily use social media and just like create a rendering of what you think it's going to be and just let people know that, hey, you can buy bricks and you might even be able to pre-sell something before you even put it in.
Because you need to sell them all before you did the path, or do you?
I don't think so. I think you would build it first and then, you know, you have all the bricks, you know, within, say it's a path, and then as somebody wants to donate, you know, to the cause, you pull that brick out with and install an engraved brick, you know, and then it kind of self builds.
So with a little bit of advertising ahead of time, and if you could pre-sell a few of them, then you get it out there with a few of them in there,
right,
and that should help keep it sustainable.
Right.
You may also find someone who wants, I mean, would we allow this? Someone wants the name to be the, whatever.
Naming rights? I would think
I'm thinking
if, yeah. If we ever would get a request for any naming rights for anything within one of our park systems, that would need to come here for approval, village board for approval, you know, to go that far. But I would think that's always an option.
To do, like you're saying, the infrastructure, I mean, to get it teed up so you can, and then the cost would be popping the bricks out, engraving them,
putting them right back in. What do you charge for them?
Okay. You know, I think we'd have to kind of come up with a cost. Like I said, you know, the individual brick, 37, you know, at global recognition is $37 per.
And that's engraved. And
that's engraved, right.
I think it would be important to have them all consistent. You know,
correct.
The number that comes to my head would, you know, be in that neighborhood of 150 to 175, which is, you know, you go from 900 to 400 to 175 on a brick. You know, I think that's a fair ask. given the maintenance, the setup, the whole thing, might be getting a little ahead of ourselves until we figure out, you know, how many are we initially going to lay down?
Right.
100? Right. You know, I mean, I'd like to get the cost break, you know, on 75 plus for 4 inch by 8. And maybe we price it 175 for one, and if you felt the need for two, you 300 for two. Yeah.
Other spot I just kind of thought about it, would it be nice to do like a around the gazebo in the park, like do like kind of circle it?
Yeah.
I'd actually thought of that too. And
I don't know if there's nothing around now, is there?
Even, you know, pacing along a walkway, like around the big pavilion, all the different walkways that go up there. But then you got issues of people driving on it, and, you know, when they're unloading and loading, and then you got people standing out when they're walking on it. I think I would go with Ryan's suggestion, is just kind of have a garden, you know, a brick garden where somebody can go off to and reflect if they wanted to, and go from there. You know, that you're not, it's not being trampled on all the time.
Could kind of, in Wheezy Park, there's that gazebo that's kind of out the back, right? We kind of go by the gazebo and, you know, put the garden next to it, kind of combine
the two,
right?
Too, yeah.
That's, we also have our orchard, you know, where we've planted some, and our arboretum, where we've planted trees back in there, in that location. Oh. So that's not a bad idea. Wheezy Park, which is way on the south end, and then that would be probably, it's the farthest gazebo to the east, over closer towards the river, on the gravel pathway. There's a gravel pathway back there.
Is it gazebo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's right in the middle of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that State Drive over there?
Yes and no. There's actually, it does elevate, so unless periods of really high water, you know, we get wet, but that whole park gets wet in periods of really high water, which over the last several years hasn't been, we haven't had that. So, yeah, and that, but.
From a marketability standpoint, Arena Al would probably be a better attraction to, maybe, I would like your idea of pre-selling.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were just to promote the whole idea, you may stumble upon someone that's wanting to give $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 to the whole idea. I don't know. And if we would entertain naming rights.
So would there be like signage and stuff too? Would you have some sort of sign that says XYZ Memorial Garden?
I would think so. Mm-hmm. I would think so.
I don't know the feasibility of this, maybe without the rendering, but like, I don't want to say a full, but putting it out either on social media or some sort of survey, just asking like residents, like, is this something you'd be interested in? Would you, at a price point of approximately this, would you pre-purchase, pre-donate bricks? That way we kind of have a gauge of, a gauge of the interest before moving further, because I would, again, at the various price points at 175, there might be a population there of folks who are very interested at that price point versus 400 versus 900.
Yeah, it's such an emotional buy, you know, it comes down to, I don't know, from a survey standpoint, if you get a full gauge, you know, for what that is. How many benches are sold out there?
I want to say more than 75. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't have.
900, I think, price point would be perceived pretty well.
One thing I could do for our next meeting is I could create a map of these locations and kind of, you know, put a little design on there so we can see where they're at within relation to these various parks, and maybe come up with a couple other.
Have we looked into the price points of other communities? Because, I mean, this is done.
As far as what they as far as what they charge and whatnot.
Yeah.
I know last meeting I brought some information. Ryan brought some information as well.
So at least we don't need to reinvent the wheel when we're trying to come up with a price. We might have
that was
a
more
pretty good guideline.
How much we would charge for the bricks.
Right, yeah. Bay Beach does a commemorative brick. They have a 4x8 brick is $200.
That's
right
in the ballpark.
So,
these are
the 4x8.
Are
they? Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
The one at St. Norbert's is $100 for a 4x8. 8x8 is $175. So, kind of right in there.
Yeah, we're in the
wheelhouse.
And from an ongoing maintenance perspective of maintaining the garden, plants and such.
Yeah, I think we would definitely try to design it as a low to no maintenance type of location.
Sure.
You know, pick plantings or whatnot that don't require a lot of work, and that whether that be, you know, perennials or those type of things, shrubbery that you don't have to really prune or take care of once they're established,
right?
You know, that type of thing.
Could we get one more bench donated to have
you
there?
Right.
Someone did,
right.
They wanted to sit and replant.
Right. You know, I'm sure that, yeah, that at some point, you know, that would come along.
Maybe we could spring for that one and just call it a reflection.
There you go. Or is there a current bench that you could?
And there is the possibility to be able to do that as well. You know, we do have some benches out there that aren't necessarily spoken for, that are just, you know, have been park benches, you know, and that. So, okay. Any other comments or questions? I will then I'll do a little bit more research, do come up with a map and some locations, and maybe even see if I can find some renderings of possible, you know, do a Google search or something, come up to see what others have done, you know, maybe give us some ideas of what it might look like or we could go with, so, and bring that to the future meeting then.
All right. Any future agenda items?
I have more question, not an agenda item, and this may have come up in another meeting, but who's doing the pollinator plantings that are set up along LA Avenue?
As far as who we worked with?
I think it's a pollinator planting. That's what
yes.
it looks like.
Yes,
I'm trying
it
to
is.
Read the sign
yeah.
as I drive by.
Yes.
They're on both sides.
Yes,
yeah.
Both sides, yes. You may have not been at the meeting.
I figured it was probably something I missed.
Right. We're working with the... And I'm going to get this wrong. The Nature Conservancy.
Oh, okay.
On that, we received a donation of, I believe it was $10,000 for that project. So, and it's as you probably know, it's a multi-year project because of how you have to do a pollinator garden.
Yeah.
Have to.
So, is it being managed by Alloway then, or is somebody
it
else?
It will be. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because
okay.
on village property. And,
where is it?
It's on Alloway Ave. Right as you're going east, right before you go across the river,
on
both sides actually. Oh. It's on both. There's some on
the one on the south side, kind of set further back behind
yep.
that house.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It looks like it might be about 1.5 times the size of the one on the left.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Cool. Okay. Well, sorry I missed that, but I was interested.
No. Yep.
Got to feed the deer.
Yeah, they're gonna love it.
They're already starting to congregate there.
I did
there.
See that. Yep.
Yeah.
I just
push them over there.
Sure.
For the workout equipment, I walk by there every day.
Okay.
I always have my dog with me, so I can never do it. I don't know if this is feasible, but could we put some sort of a post to like hook the dog leash up to, or that'd be liability concerns, or I think it might get people to use it more.
It doesn't take much.
You have to be careful.
Right.
You know,
right.
I have to put two dogs on there.
Let me look.
Side.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You gotta
let me look into that a little bit.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, because it might take a little bit more than just having a poster.
Yeah.
Bring a spike with you.
Right.
To kind of piggyback on that, I think one thing we do need to maybe do there is look at a bike rack. You know, there's a lot of people biking, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
so you can tie
your dog
up. Tie your dog to the bike rack. Yeah. So then when somebody comes to get their bike, they...
That's funny you see that rank. I was by their one day last week. I thought the same thing. Not that I was going to get a heavy workout, but...
You could.
So,
I mean,
somebody might. I could use one.
It's like a horse hitching post, right? That's
right.
Your dog's
intended. I'm just not sure if there's liability issues with people leaving their dog unattended while they're working out with people coming.
I think the exercise discretion. If you got an aggressive dog, there's another one there.
Oh, right.
I've seen Winnie.
I would think. I know my dog. But other people, you know, don't have his...
Mine would just whine to get closer to us.
Good question, though, because I'm sure there's many other people that have thought of the same thing. So, great.
Yeah, you could get. I won't go too far down the rabbit hole here. So, on a bike rack, I mean, you could just have one of our crew weld some eye hooks on it, and she could hook her leash on.
I'll have to think about that a little bit.
We're good. Carry on.
Yeah. No. Let me think about it. Come up with some options.
All right. Any other future agenda items? All right. Well, then I would look for a motion to adjourn.
I like motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
We are adjourned at 6:17 p.m.